How's everybody doing this morning? We can do a little bit better than that. Come on, we got to shake that turkey off. Come on, how's everybody doing this morning? All right. Excited that you're here today. We're excited about what God's doing here at the Life Church and in your life. How many of you know each and every one of you, you're special to God? And I just want to take a moment and pray today and let's invite God to do something that he wants to do and something that's going to make your life better. And so let's just take a moment today. Father, we thank you today for your goodness. We thank you, Father God, that each and every person that's here today, you've chosen, Father God, to live for you, to be your voice, to be your light. And Father, we thank you today that your anointing is here. I pray, Father, that you're opening hearts, Lord, even things in our lives that look impossible. We just declare today that possibility is here because of who you are. And we thank you today and ask you to do what you want to do, say what you want to say, and be what you want to be in our lives today, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, today we're kind of entering into a Christmas series called Chosen, and I want to talk to you today about how to step into new realities. And life is filled with so many different moments. One thing I've learned over time is that time doesn't stand still, that there's constant season changes, there's constant moments. You know, I can think back of, you know, just coming out of Thanksgiving and thinking back to times where, you know, being at grandma's house and how those years were special, and then transitioning into what life is today. But all of us are always going to go into new realities. And what was isn't necessarily what will be. But the good news here today, come on, is that God is always faithful to his word. And through faith, we step into each reality, come on, believing and speaking the word. And so life is filled with so many different moments. You know, even here recently, I was thinking about, you know, a couple weekends ago was kind of a unique weekend for us as a family. And, you know, my son had played football for over 10 years, put his heart on that, stood on the sidelines at 5 years old as an Eagle here at TLCA, and spent 10 years, you know, preparing and following just the dream of loving sports. And so, you know, catching 100 balls a day and mastering his craft and putting the time in. Because how many of you know if you're going to do something well, you've got to put the time into it? And, you know, and so on, you know, in November, we hit the same weekend. We also, you know, we have a side business and, you know, one of our sons runs that or worked in that process. And then in the same weekend, our daughter gets married. And so in one weekend, we gave our daughter away. Our son left to take another job. And one of our kids played his last football game in the playoffs. And so for me and that football mentality, you know, mine and Colin's relationship was real strong in that. And so had to get to a point where, hey, we've got to let this go and step into new realities. And the scripture says in Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Another version says it this way. The NIV says it this way, that now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And so as you're stepping into this, realize that as you're stepping into new realities, life is meant to be built upon. And so we're all building a life. And in this process, if you go back and look, we have a tendency to think, well, only the special people are chosen. Only the people of certain status or the most popular, the most good looking, the people that have it all together, they're the ones that's chosen. But the reality is we're all chosen by God. We just have to say yes. And in that process, we walk that out and we step in through Jesus, we step into a life of faith. But all of us have a part to play in that. Are you with me here this morning? Come on, I had to shake off the turkey. Come on, you got to shake off the turkey too. And, you know, I woke up this morning thinking, well, I'd love to just lay here. And so I did for another hour, as a matter of fact. But I want you to get this in your heart this morning. There's a man named Yogi Berra who played for the New York Yankees. And Yogi, anybody ever heard of Yogi Berra? If you're, certain crowd probably has, maybe the younger crowd has it, but you can Google it. And so Yogi Berra was one of the greatest baseball players of all time, but he didn't look like it. And so years ago, Yogi Berra was a Navy man, and he had a decent high school career and ended up going into the Navy, but I think the Yankees had drafted him. And so after he goes to the Navy, he shows up to the New York Yankees and says, you know, I'm here to play baseball. And they said, well, you don't look, you know, he said, I'm a baseball player. And then he said, I may not look like it. And the owner of the team looks at him and said, you don't look like a Navy man either. Yogi Berra was 5'7". He was funny looking. He was also comical and had a way of captivating a crowd But he also was an incredible baseball player. Over a 10-year period, or in his career, he won 10 World Series, and then he had 3 World Series as a coach. I mean, that's 13 World Series. There's not probably anybody in history that's going to repeat what Yogi Berra did. And he also had one of the highest percentage of home runs versus strikeouts. Most home run hitters in baseball, they hit a lot of home runs, but they usually lead the league in strikeouts. Yogi Berra was one of the few people in history in the top two that could not only hit home runs, but very seldom struck out in life or in baseball. And so in the 80s, they decided they were going to honor the most incredible baseball players that were still alive during that time, and they decided to pick the top 4 players that they would recognize as the greatest living baseball players. And so they look at Yogi Berra. He's left off the list. There was men like Hank Aaron and you know, a lot of the status guys, because like I said, we have a tendency in our American culture to think that only certain people in a certain status should be recognized, and that's a shame. But with God, come on, he recognizes each and every one of us. So Yogi Berra was left off that list. A short time later, he passed away, and he wasn't recognized as one of the living greatest baseball players of all times. Now, they recently did a documentary on it, and he got the recognition he deserved. What I'm telling you is this: sometimes success doesn't look like success to the outside world. But in God, listen, with God, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the confidence in the things that we hope for and the evidence of things that we do not see. So just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not God. Just because we can't see clearly, come on, the outcome that we're looking for, it doesn't mean that God is not working on your behalf or working with you in our circumstances. And so you can go back and study. We're in Christmas season, and I'm probably the least Christmas preaching type guy. There's a lot of guys more eloquent to preach Christmas sermons than I am. So I'm just going to preach what I know. Come on and add a little Christmas to it. Is that okay? And so in the process, if we're going to step into the realities that God has for us, one thing that we've got to hold on is we step into new realities by faith. And we're not always going to see it. We're not always going to feel qualified. And you look in the scripture in Luke chapter 1, when God chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of qualifications there besides the fact that she was pure, she was a virgin, come on, and that put her in that qualification. And I'm not saying that disrespectfully, but if you read your Bibles, you'll find out that to be the case. And so Mary made a decision when the angel approached Mary and said, hey, you're about to step into a new reality. She could have ran at that moment, but the scripture says, the angel says, do not be afraid. But when Mary heard the heart of God behind it, faith came onto the scene. And because of that, Mary said, yes, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. She stepped into a new reality. Now, all realities, if we're not careful, and as a faith guy and a faith church, and you know, we're connecting people with God's purpose, it's important to realize that everything we do is not always going to be a big success to the outside world. There's some things you're going to battle and go through in life. There's just not a lot of fun. And as you step into certain seasons, you know, there's certain things along the way that sometimes it's like, this is mind-boggling because I can't see the outcome. I'm looking through this glass darkly, and I can't see exactly what's going to happen, or why didn't I see this, or why didn't I see that coming? And if you're not careful, we'll start connecting dots all the time and just living in this connecting phase of what should have been and what can be. But I'm here to tell you today, no matter what state you're living in, whether you're in a state of bounding, or you're a state of having to walk it out, not knowing what the end result is, I'm here to tell you, just like with Mary, come on, God is with you. And faith is alive. Look at somebody and say, faith is alive. And the thing is, though, it doesn't look like it did yesterday. And I've discovered that, you know, it just in this time that we're in, is it's a new level. And the fall has been different. You know, we've branched as a church into 3 campuses. That's a new reality. We had staff members shift from San Angelo to Abilene and to Arlington. That's a new reality. So we're always stepping into new things. Maybe you're at a point where your pre-K kids now entering elementary, or your elementary kids now entering junior high. And you go through that process of life. Maybe you're here like Marianne. I saw her sitting right there. Her and Oz recently got married too. And, you know, our daughter and Jared got married. And I was sitting there thinking the other day, I bet they're still in that state where they're realizing one of the two doesn't put the lid back on the toothpaste. Remember when that's a big deal? Come on. And then they're like, why? It just, you know, there's things that you're going through along the lines and it just doesn't make sense. It's a new reality, listen, and we have to embrace it. Every reality we step in, come on, God wants to be with you. He wants to be in that process. And if we're not careful as Christians, we act like we know everything. And I know that I do. I think the greatest day in my life is when I realize there's nothing special about you, man. There's nothing special about you. The only thing good about you is that Jesus came into your life. Come on. I'm talking about myself this morning. Come on. You're awesome. But I realize there's nothing special about you. Growing up, you know, I always thought, man, there might be something special about me. I think the greatest day in my life when I realized, hey, there's nothing special about you. You can fail just like anyone else. Come on. Or you can walk by faith. Come on, like Jesus called you to do. And so if we're not careful, we'll create realities that really don't exist, but we think that they exist, and it messes things up. And, you know, and I used to think, boy, you know, whatever I put my hand to, it's going to prosper. And then sometimes it didn't because God wasn't a part of it. And I would step into realities, come on, trying to do things in life in my own way. And I realized, hey, there's going to be moments where we miss it. There's going to be moments where we don't see it, or there's going to be moments where we look back and say, man, I should have done something different then. But the reality is today is, come on, we walk by faith and not by sight. And so as we walk this thing out, you know, you hold on to that. I was in a restaurant here recently with Brandon Barr, and we were up in the Dallas area and headed to a conference, to the CMN's conference in Dallas. And so we're driving along, and I realized I forgot to put gas in the car. Anybody ever been there? Am I the only one? Come on. My dad used to tell me, boy, that car will run just as good on full as it will empty. And so we were like, we got to do something now. And so we're, you know, we got the maps going and all the things. And I said, just turn the map off. We're going to take the next exit and see what happens. So we go off the exit looking for gas. And I see this restaurant. And I said, hey, you hungry? I mean, getting gas went out the window. It was time to eat at that point. And so we run and, you know, we find this Japanese place. And we go in there and we really know what to expect. And we order. I mean, it was a you know, really good deal, and they had sushi and all the soup and the, you know, all the stuff. If you like Japanese food, if you don't, we'll pray for you. You should like Japanese food. And so, you know, we're going in this, we're going through the process, and we order our food, and then all of a sudden, this little R2-D2 robot comes out, and it's going, and it has a little song playing, boom, and it comes right to our table, and all our food is sitting on this robot. And I thought, man, I'm from San Angelo, Texas. Come on, this doesn't happen at Henry's. Come on. And so I looked at Brandon and I said, man, did the rapture happen or what's going on? And then the waiter comes out. I mean, I'm talking right on time, and they take these plates off, they put them on the table, and it's a different world. It's a different reality at that moment. And I'm thinking, wow. And so the robot leaves, the music's playing. It goes back, and later on, it had a deal where you could order more food, and the robot comes back, the waiter comes. I mean, they had their system down, and I really don't know where I'm going with this, but I wanted you to hear the story. But the robot had this reality. I mean, I'm in a reality that, man, Back to the Future has happened. You know, I'm 47 years old. I remember as a kid watching movies. This stuff didn't exist. I'm thinking, I miss dial-up telephones. Come on, I want life before email. Come on. That's my natural go-to. I want to be on a deer lease, or I want to be out in the country somewhere. I want to be in a place where nobody can get a hold of me. And now robots are serving me food. And it's a whole new reality. We're living in a different place, but God is still the same. God is still working. Lord, come on. And even though in the natural they may try to replace the value of human beings, I'm telling you today, Jesus didn't give his life for robots. Come on. Jesus gave his life for people. And as you walk this thing out, and no matter what reality you step in, come on, God has a part for you to play. And maybe you don't feel like you look like the status quo. Maybe you don't feel like you look like Derek Jeter. But I'm telling you today, every drop of blood that Jesus shed was because he's for you, he's with you, and he has something for you to accomplish in this lifetime. And Pastor Walt says it all the time, the only thing going to heaven are people. I didn't lead that robot to the Lord because I didn't know what to say. Come on. But my point is, life changes, life shifts. How do we step into those shifts? How do we step into those moments? And so in life, there's different types of realities that you're going to step into. And it's all about, a lot of times we stop and we focus more on what we're stepping into than who's leading us into the next step. The scripture says that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet, come on, and a light unto our path. Jesus came to be the lamp, and he came to be the light. He came to fill us, and he came to guide us into places. So maybe you're in seasons where something you stepped into failed, and you think, man, because that failed, I'll never be the same. I'm telling you to here right now, God doesn't do plan B and plan C. God is a plan A God, and if plan A failed, come on, then God will start a whole new plan A for you in your life. So don't disqualify what God wants to do. Come on. Failure is just a sign that we still need Jesus, and we always will. And so maybe you've gone through some different seasons where it didn't look like we thought it should look like. You know, we're in an economy right now that doesn't look like we want it to look like. I mean, you go to the grocery store, and the prices are amazing. You know, used to you go get a meal for $10. It cost you four. You know, I used to go eat a steak for what I could get hot dogs for at the grocery store. But it's the reality that we're in right now. And there's shifts and there's balances and there's things that we don't understand. But what I'm telling you is it doesn't matter because God always has a plan. God is always working. And I like the way Paul Cole says it. Even when it looks like nothing is happening, come on, God is still doing something. Am I talking to anybody here this morning? And so there's certain realities. There's the reality of the unknown. Like when an angel shows up to talk to Mary and says, hey, I'm gonna fill you with this child who's gonna change the world. She steps into this place and it's unknown. How many have ever been in an unknown place? I'm sitting in a restaurant, a robot shows up. It's unknown. Come on, I didn't know how to respond. I didn't know whether to fight or flight. Come on. So I just chose to eat at the time. And as you're stirred up in that thing, we want to overly spiritualize things. There's going to be things that we walk into that are going to be unknown. Remember the first time you became a parent, you know, or you stepped into a new environment, or you went to college, or you started a new business, come on, or you started dating for the first time. I mean, there's so many levels of life that we walk through on a regular basis that are unknown. And a lot of times that we when we see Jesus into our life, we box our life into this small world and we think we've got it all figured out and we quit stepping into new arenas. That's what I love about Pastor Walt. He never stops living in vision. Because it's not just about figuring life out to a point. And if you're not careful, church, we'll build a life where we don't even need Jesus, or we think we don't. And it'll become so small, and it'll become so bubbled, and it'll become so protective, and nobody around you can say anything negative, and nobody can cuss, or nobody, you know, we're supposed to be reaching the world, not running from the world. And so there has to be an ingredient in this thing where we realize God's always going to lead us from faith to faith. He's always going to lead us into new levels, here a little, there a little. The scripture says glory to glory. He's always going to stretch you, and just because you're getting older doesn't mean it has to be less. Come on. It didn't matter what age you are. Clint Eastwood said, age is just a number. And he can say that because he's 175 years old and still rocking. And so my point is this. We don't need to buy into what the status quo says. We don't need to buy into what the world says, because the world will talk you out of being what God's called you to be. And so Mary could have said, man, I can't do this. I'm not qualified. I'm not going to take the heat for this whole deal. But she said, hey, I'm going to step into the unknown. Come on. And I'm sure glad she did. Because the Savior was born. Come on, if it wasn't for Jesus, come on, all of us would be a wreck here today. And so as we walk this thing out, don't run from the unknown. Come on, embrace Jesus into the unknown. Even when you can't see the outcome, that's where faith, that's where hope comes into place. The scripture says we're anchored in hope. So there's different levels in that. There's the reality of the unknown. There's the reality of change. You know, that's where you're in a season of something shifted, or what yesterday you had doesn't work today. And so we're having to change with culture, or we're having to change with times, or changing in different levels. Come on. You know, and it's more than just sitting around shouting the name of Jesus. I'm here to tell you today, this stuff has to be applied even in moments of change. Come on. It's not like faith disappears. Come on. Faith changes. You know, we just went through that season where daughter gets married, son takes another step in his own life in business, and another son's getting ready to graduate high school, and you're realizing, hey, they're at a point of life, they've got to initiate their faith. And the faith that they're leaning on my faith for many years, or our faith during certain times, worked, but now they're all at stages of life, come on, where they can't just lean on my faith. Come on, they got to develop the faith that God's put on the inside of them. It's a season of change, and as you step into that, I remember going from being a youth pastor, come on, to a senior pastor at 25 years old. You talk about a shift and a change. I had no idea what I was doing. I look back and think, why would they have put me in that position? Come on, but you couldn't have talked me out of it at the time. But it was a shift of change. It was a shift of something that you had to embrace. And so there's going to be seasons of life where your kids grow up. There's going to be seasons of life where sons become fathers and fathers become grandfathers and grandfathers become great-grandfathers. There's all kinds of different levels that we're going to step into. There's going to be changes in presidents. There's going to be changes in politicians. There's going to be changes in the way that the economy functions. Am I talking to anybody here this morning? My point is even though we're stepping into seasons of change or life that shift, that doesn't look like it did yesterday, God is still alive in this moment, right here, right now, and this reality matters. Come on. And so we step into those moments where that happens. And then there's a reality of responsibility. There's a reality where you're like, man, I'm in the middle of this. What do I do? I'm in this new reality, or I'm in this place. That's where we step up in different levels, realizing this is where you anchor down in what you know. I always tell our staff, don't go teaching people what you don't know. Come on. Stay focused on what you do know. It'll be way more powerful than trying to teach a theory that you don't know anything about. Because there's a big difference in theory and authority. A theory talks about doing something. The authority says, I've been there and done that. You know, and so as you step into these places of responsibility, Scripture says in Matthew chapter 7, it says that those that hear the sayings of Jesus and do the sayings of Jesus build their life on what? Come on, help me out. They build their life on the rock, which is a foundation, right? We're supposed to all build on this foundation of Christ, who the Scripture says is also the chief cornerstone. And so he says, those that hear my sayings and do my sayings will be like a wise man who built their life upon the what? On the rock. Who's the rock? Jesus is the rock, right? And so he says, now when the winds come and the waves come, it cannot blow down the house. So the reality of responsibility is the moment where you realize I'm in the middle of this thing. I'm running my family. I'm starting business. I've got kids in school. I'm at soccer games. I'm at all these different events. Come on, or birthday parties and those kind of things. And you know, half our family is Hispanic. Come on, and so when you do parties, it's a big deal, right? Come on, help me out. The pastor says Latino. I'm saying Hispanic today, but. Come on, somebody. And so there's always something to do. There's always a birthday party. There's always something going on. There's always something in life that there is to do. And if we're not careful, come on, it'll wear us down. But we learn that during those seasons where life gets busy and things are tough and you're in different levels of change and reality, that's where you buckle down on that foundation. And so there's times where you ever watch the television when the hurricane season starts? And you know, they're talking about these winds blowing in and there's all this stuff blowing and happening. And then you'll see a news reporter standing on the screen. They're standing there and there's all this stuff going on. Am I the only one? Come on. Come on, I told you, I shook the turkey. You better catch up. Come on. And so we're in this process. You're watching these shows and they're giving these news reports and their faces like peeling back and there's people flying everywhere and signs and trees and power lines are down, but they hold their position and just stay in that place so that they can give a report. Well, that's what it's like when you're in the moments of living in responsibility as a Christ follower. When everybody else is running because things are bad, when everybody else is running from the will of God and they're messed up and they're tired and that kind of thing, you're called to be the person that puts your feet down on the foundation of Christ. Come on, stand in the right proper place. And even though the winds come and even though the storms come, come on, it cannot blow your house down. You can clap. If you're going to clap, make it a good one. Come on. And it cannot blow the house down because your house is built upon the rock. And who's the rock? Come on, who's the rock? Come on, it's not Uncle Tom. Come on, who's the rock? It's Jesus. And that's the life that we live. And so there may be things happening, but we buckle down and decide, we're going to walk this thing out because I'm going to hear the sayings of Jesus. I'm going to do the sayings of Jesus. And I'm going to let God show that he's faithful. Come on. And even though it may not look like it, I'm telling you, God always has a plan. He always has a way of working things out. And there comes a time, listen, when you start talking about vision, it very seldom looks like it's possible. You start talking about change, very seldom does it look possible. But we don't serve a God who's of the impossibility. Come on. We serve a God who's faithful. And with God, come on, all things are possible. So your kid can change. God, he can reach the unreachable. He can take the average man, come on, and shift them into a new reality as a visionary. Come on, somebody. You hear pastor talk about it all the time. That I was messed up in my bedroom. That's the story. Come on. And God takes and builds off of that foundation. And because of that, we're all impacted. There comes a moment, listen, where faith doesn't look like faith when it starts off. There's no Thomas Kincaid pictures that you're going to look at and say, "Woo, I got it all figured out." Come on, those are some pretty pictures. I was just thinking about how pretty those pictures are. But usually it's messed up and it's ugly and it's full of, you know, anger and full of, you know, you look at people in general and there's something God can take some messed up folks, come on, and change the world with them. Peter, he looks at Peter and says, "Hey, come follow me." Peter says, "I'll follow you." Then he says, "Hey, I'm going to send you out two by two." Then later on, he looks at Peter and says, "Hey, I'm going to leave you because it's to your advantage that I go, because if I go, I'm sending back the Holy Spirit." I'm sure Peter's thinking, man, this story just completely changes all the time. But he was stepping into new realities, stepping into new seasons. And every time he took a step into the next season, it was Jesus preparing him for what, not what was, but what will be. And he took, you know, so he took him different levels from following him to the disciples being sent out, to Jesus having to go and take the punishment, ascend to heaven, you know, send back the Holy Spirit. And then Peter becomes a major voice for the church. Think about all the different levels that he went through to prepare him for what God had for him at that time. And it's the same with you. You may be in a reality today, and maybe you don't completely understand it, but one thing I want you to get a hold of today is that God is always faithful, and he'll always lead you. He's still a light, and he's still a lamp, and I don't care how dark it looks out there, Jesus will always be a light and a lamp into your life. And his word continually speaks, and it's not dead. Come on. I believe God's words are going to get into more people than ever before right now. And the darker it looks in the world, come on, I believe the greater the light that has the opportunity to shine. So we can't run from that. You can't run from that. You can't eat so much turkey it takes you to the levels of victory. Come on. I'm just messing with you. But what I do know is as you step into these different realities, you're not stepping into them alone. That God's still speaking. Maybe you're here this morning and you said, "I came in here and my life is jacked up." Well, I'm telling you right now, you're in the right place because the Word of God is here. Come on. The people of God are here and the Spirit of God is here. When you combine all of that, come on, miracles begin to take place. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're going through a divorce. Maybe you're going through a time or the holidays bring up bad memories. Come on, all those things are legitimate. All those things happen. We can pastor you through it this morning. I'm telling you today, maybe you've gone through a year and 23 hasn't been your year. There's certain times where you go through levels of stretching and levels of growing, and maybe you think, "Man, I can't take anymore." Come on. I'm here to tell you today that God's always doing something. He's stretching you because he has more for you. He's stretching you because he wants you to get a hold of the destiny that he has for your life. You know, you look at life and think, maybe I look like Yogi Berra, or maybe I look funny, and maybe I talk funny, or maybe, you know, maybe you're in a season where your hair's falling out. Come on, I'm in those seasons. I still looked in the mirror. I saw a picture the other day from my daughter's wedding, and Kelly showed me, and I was thinking, I felt good at that wedding. I mean, I had my best suit on. I had my shoes shine. I mean, I had good cologne. Come on, my wife buys me good cologne. Come on. There's probably a reason for that, but she does buy me good cologne. And I'm walking through that. I mean, I'm feeling like, I mean, we get to the deal, do the father-daughter dance, and feeling really good about myself. Because I felt about 20 years old until I saw the pictures. And I thought, oh my gosh, Roy Taylor incarnated. Come on. But it ain't about how we feel. Come on, somebody. It ain't about the shifts and the changes. It's about the faithfulness of God. Come on, working in our lives. It's about the God who said that in Psalms that he would be our shield and he would be our protector. We serve a God who's our provider. Philippians says that he provides all our needs according to his riches and glory. He supplies all our needs. Maybe you're in a situation this morning where you need God's provision working in your life. Come on. And I'm telling you, God can change some situations. God can turn things around. Maybe you're here today and you're just facing things. Well, Scripture says that he's our shield and he's our strength, that he's our rock, he's our fortress. He's the peace that passes all understanding. He's our provider. And Isaiah 41:10 says it this way. It says, "Fear not, because I am with you." And so I just want to encourage you this morning, you know, as you step into these new realities, these new places, come on, stand on the foundation that God created you to live by. Hear the sayings of Jesus, do the sayings of Jesus, be the sayings of Jesus. The scripture says wisdom will begin to work, and when wisdom is that divine insight starts working in your life, maybe you got a knucklehead kid. Come on, you're like, I've tried everything I know to try. Come on, well, quit trying and start praying. Come on. And let that word begin to take place. He can shift that knucklehead. Come on. I was one of them, right? Twice. I did it in my teens. I did it again in my 30s. Come on, somebody. And God's still using us. Come on, son. I don't know why I keep saying that. I told Kelly the other day, I'm going to quit saying, come on, somebody. Too many other people are saying it now. And so in this process of life, I'm just here to encourage you today. In Isaiah, that he says, fear not, because I am with you. So every reality you step into from this moment forth, come on, God is with you in that journey as a parent, as a father, as a grandparent, as a business person, or just a believer out in the community shedding the light of Jesus. Come on. God is working on your behalf. So I want to encourage you, stand on your faith. Even when the enemy tries to talk you out of it or throws that ball, I'm here to tell you, stand on your faith. You know, we're in December. Come on, let's stand on our faith. Maybe there's some things you're dealing with in that, but hold on to your hope. The scripture says that hope is the anchor to our soul. It's the anchor of God. And faith is the confidence for things that we hope, the scripture says. So hold on to that hope. Get settled in, you know. I used to fish quite a bit, and have you ever been out fishing in the waves? You get in the right spot and start catching fish, and then all of a sudden the waves would move you out. Now they have these anchors on these bolts. Rex Davis has one. You push a button and it goes down like 25 feet and wham, it just anchors the boat so that when you get in the right spot, come on, you can still cast it out. And a lot of times we're trying to live life without an anchor. And when we get in the waves and all of a sudden we get a little bit of something, life and storms and the things we face kind of pushes us out to somewhere else. The scripture says that hope is the anchor to our soul. Hope is the anchor that we live by. So we're walking by faith. We're not going to be moved. Come on. We're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. We're anchored in the word. We're anchored in hope. Faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. So we're not losing hope. We're going to embrace this thing. And then we walk and take it to the next step, and we just decide no matter what we face, come on, we're not going to quit. We're not going to give up because of who lives on the inside of us. And so stand your feet with me this morning. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you, Father God, that as we step in to ending this month, stepping into a new month, into new realities, Father, that you've given us the faith to walk this thing out, Father God. And we just pray that you're touching hearts right now. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm stepping into new realities, but I'm struggling. I'm stepping into some new places, or I'm in a season where I don't understand and I'm struggling. I don't want to invite those that maybe you're not in the struggle this morning. I really want to focus on this. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling, or someone near you is struggling, but you're ready to take the next step. Come on and invite faith to be a part of that journey. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm struggling, if you just lift your hands this morning, I see that hand, I see hands. We're going to pray this morning. And if somebody has their hand up right there nearby you, we're going to do this together. I just encourage you to reach out, maybe lay a hand on their shoulder. We're just going to pray together today. But Father, we thank you that hope is alive right now. We thank you, Father God, that even though we're in these places, Lord, that even though we're in these seasons, Lord, and for those that are struggling here, we pray that hope is alive today. Father, I pray strength is alive. I pray faith is working. And Lord, we just stand in agreement today and we just decide and say together that, Lord, you are our strength. You are our buckler, Lord. That you remove the pebble from our shoe. Father God, that you're the God that turns things into new levels, Lord. That you have the ability and the power to change things. And I pray today that, Father God, that faith would arise in this house. That faith would arise in every person who's hurting here today. And we speak miracles into this place. We speak miracles into this place. Say this with me today. Father God, we thank you that you sent your son. We thank you that you gave us life. We thank you, Jesus, for filling us with your power. But I speak faith today. Come on, say it like you mean it. I speak faith today into my circumstances. And even if it looks impossible, God, you're turning things around. I walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, say it like you mean it. I walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, say it again. I walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, say it like you mean it. I walk by faith and not by sight. Sometimes you got to be your greatest encourager. You got to be your cheerleader. And Father, we thank you the Spirit of God is here. And because your Spirit is here, there is liberty. And we take authority over oppression, depression, hopelessness, lack of joy, Father. And we pray right now that this room would be filled with your Spirit in a different way, Father, that joy would be here. Hope is here. And Holy Spirit, we just ask you as we sing this final song, Father God, to touch people's life in a way that they need it, Lord, that you supply not only the need, but you give us the ability to walk by faith through the need. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout this morning. Let's sing.